Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, I am your host, Al Martin, on this March 1st, 2018, or as you all here in East Lansing like to call it, it is the month of Izzo. You guys don't even say March anymore, do you? January, February, Izzo, April, right? Oh, boy. March Madness has officially begun, at least according to the Big Ten Conference, at least, right? Due to the fact that the Big Ten Tournament tipped off officially yesterday evening at Madison Square Garden down in New York City, the Big Apple, Michigan State, earning that number one seed, Big Ten champs, of course. That means they have a double bye. So your Spartans will not play until tomorrow. How about that? You guys like that, right? Of course you do. Because Michigan State gets some rest. Tom Izzo and the Spartans get a few days to practice before this tournament. And Michigan State will actually play the winner of Wisconsin and Maryland. And that game is actually taking place right now. That was a noon tip-off. And tomorrow's going to be an interesting show because we will be on the air while Michigan State is playing either Wisconsin or Maryland. So for those who will be tuning into tomorrow's show, thank you so much, because that's called Current Sports Dedication. And we'll be keeping you updated. And I may even do some play-by-play tomorrow afternoon. Haven't done that in a while. So, on today's Current Sports, though, I'm sure many of you Spartan fans have heard the comments now. As Tom Izzo, your head coach, finally put his foot down. I knew he was going to do it. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know if it was going to happen before the Big Ten tournament or before the Big Dance, the NCAA tournament. And yesterday, Tom Izzo addressed the media, and before any questions were thrown at him, I mean, you talk about intense. I mean, Tom Izzo was as intense as you see him on the sidelines when things aren't going right for his team. That's the way he addressed the media in the practice gym after yesterday's practice. I mean, he was fiery, and he stared everybody down and said, from now on, just basketball questions. I don't want to ruin the bite. It's so good. We're going to play a few snippets that we have prepared for you all from yesterday's media interaction with Tom Izzo. And trust me, you are going to want to strap up that seatbelt. You know, hold on tight, because these bites are in your face. And it included an exchange. The reporter did not work for ESPN. She did not work at ESPN. She let that be known. But there was an interesting back and forth that Izzo had with this reporter, and you could just tell he was just getting oh so irritated. So irritated with everything. So you don't want to miss that. That's talk about a tease, right? You don't want to miss that. We'll, of course, preview the Big Ten tournament and keep you guys updated as to what is taking place and what is taking place out in NYC. Not a lot of fans there yesterday, as expected. I don't know if you guys caught the Illinois and Iowa game and the Rutgers and Minnesota game after Iowa handled business against the Illini, but not a lot of folks at MSG. Now, if you were watching the broadcast, it looked like it, because No, they brought the fans down to television level, so there weren't just these glaring pockets there. But there were something like 7,000 fans there last night. You know, if that, maybe 5,000, 7,000, somewhere around there. There was really no one in the upper deck. I mean, it was just, as we expected. I mean, February 28th, you know, Illinois, Iowa, Rutgers, Minnesota. I mean, not a sexy slate, right? Hopefully the attendance improves for today. But we'll give you guys an update on the Big Ten tournament. We'll also, tell you what you can expect from your Spartans in the Big Ten tournament and what kind of implications loom for your team. And then we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. We'll talk a little Detroit Pistons, all the while inviting you all to be a part of our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running. You can comment below that video, and I will do to my best. I will do my best, I should say, to get your comments throughout this hour. And you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports is the show's official Twitter handle. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, first I want to pass this news to you all on behalf of us here at WKAR. If you were planning on attending tonight's Pop-Up Stories event at the Capital Region International Airport, well, don't, because it has now been postponed due to that beautiful weather outside. Yeah, just, and I warned you all yesterday, didn't I? I mean, yesterday was beautiful. Heck, the day before that, beautiful. 50 degrees, sun is out, birds are chirping, everybody's singing. And it snowed today, and it will snow throughout the afternoon. Don't be duped. And this is how people get sick. This is how I got sick. Well, it's not exactly how I got sick last week. I mean, I was just stupid and ran outside without a hat on. It was like 30 degrees. But I mean, this is how people get sick. You know, you think it's going to be another great day in Michigan, and then it's snowing. So be safe out there. But again, tonight's Pop-Up Stories event at the Capital Region International Airport is postponed due to weather and possible hazardous road conditions. Be careful out there. We will reschedule the event at a later date to be determined. Thank you all for your interest. All right, keeping it moving. Michigan State's Big Ten tournament does not start until tomorrow afternoon, but the action began yesterday and will continue today at MSG out in NYC. Iowa and Rutgers were winners on day one, sending Illinois and Minnesota home early. Play resumed today at noon. Do we have a score update on that? Ian, can we look that up right now? Wisconsin and Maryland, they've been playing for an hour now. Ian Hawley is going to give us a score update on that. Again, Michigan State will be waiting to take on the winner of this game tomorrow at noon. The Spartans are 4-0 against the Badgers in Terrapins this year, winning blowouts at the Breslin and closer games on the road. Ian Hawley, what's the score update?
Wisconsin is currently up right now. It's halftime, and the score is 28-26.
28-26. Wisconsin is winning right now.
Yes, sir. We got a close one here.
All right. We'll be following that win throughout the hour. All right. Also, Iowa versus Michigan. That game will take place 25 minutes after game three. Nebraska might be the number four seed in the conference tournament, but Michigan has been one of the hottest teams in the league, finishing the regular season with 5 straight wins. MSU fans are never mad when Michigan loses, but considering the Huskers are currently outside the top 50 in RPI, Michigan State will have a better chance at making a run at the number one seed in the NCAA tourney if it wins Friday and then plays and beats the Wolverines on Saturday. I'm sure many of you Spartan fans are just rubbing those hands together, hoping for a rematch between the Spartans and Wolverines. Also, Northwestern versus Penn State at 6:30 p.m. If Penn State wins, they will play Ohio State for the third time this season
And Rutgers versus Indiana will take place to end the day. Winner will face Purdue. All right, the Arizona Board of Regents has called a special meeting for this afternoon to receive legal advice and discuss the University of Arizona men's basketball program and the contract of Mr. Sean Miller, head coach of the Arizona men's basketball team. All right, the board announced in an official agenda notice Wednesday afternoon that it would hold the 4 p.m. meeting for, quote, legal advice and discussion regarding the University of Arizona men's basketball and multiple-year employment contract for the head men's basketball coach, end quote. Now, the Board of Regents is the governing body for public universities in Arizona. The meeting is not open to the public. Miller has not coached his team since Friday's publication of an ESPN report tying him to an alleged conversation heard on an FBI wiretap discussing a $100,000 payment to current Wildcats freshman DeAndre Ayton. All right, Nate Robinson, former NBA player Nate Robinson, says a University of Washington booster offered him six figures to return to the Huskies football team after he left to focus on basketball. Now, Robinson said that he was offered $100,000 per year by a booster to resume his football career after leaving the team after his freshie campaign. Quote, for my 3 years at UW, I had a booster offer me $100,000 per year to come back and play football because they needed Nate Robinson back on the football field because we weren't winning any games. It wasn't exciting, end quote. Now, in a statement issued to the Seattle Times, the Washington Athletic Department denied any knowledge of the scenario Robinson described. Oh, boy. It happens all the time, folks. All right. Although Michigan State women's basketball struggled at times during the regular season, the Spartans finished by winning three of their last four games, including a 66-61 win over Michigan on February 11th. MSU's first test in the conference tournament comes against number 7 Indiana tonight at 6:30 p.m. In Indianapolis. Michigan State's women's basketball team has been plagued by the injury bug and used 13 different starting lineups this season, but the Spartans are healthier these days as they continue preparations for the Big Ten tournament. However, I do want to pass this news along. I was watching WLNS TV6 last night, and it was reported that, get this, Shea Colley, who has been playing so good as the guard alongside Taryn McCutcheon with the MSU women's basketball team, Shea Colley was on the sidelines during practice this week and re-injured her knee. On the sidelines. And you can just see the frustration on Susie Merchant's face as she brought that news to WLNS. She said, yeah, I've never had a player on the sidelines during practice get hurt. So now Shea Colley is listed as questionable. Unfortunate stuff, I tell you. The injury bug is something that has plagued this team far too often. I feel for Susie Merchant. All right, Stanley Johnson was removed from the starting lineup for the Detroit Pistons. He came off the bench Wednesday to actually lead the Pistons to a much-needed dub. Johnson scored 19 points and helped keep star Giannis Antetokounmpo in check for the Pistons' 110-87 thumping of the Milwaukee Bucks at Little Caesars Arena. Andre Drummond, 15-16 for him, 15 points, 16 boards. And Reggie Bullock scored 16 points on 7-for-14 shooting. Blake Griffin struggled offensively with 8 points, just 3-of-10 shooting, but added 9 points and 7 assists in 25 minutes. The Pistons are 3 games behind the Miami Heat for the Eastern Conference's 8th and final playoff spot. On the first night of life without Thomas Tatar, the Detroit Red Wings could have used his offensive ability. Streaky as he was, Tatar obviously had the ability to score some goals, and the Wings desperately needed that one more goal from anybody, somebody, last night, losing 2-1 to the St. Louis Blues. The loss ended a modest 2-game win streak for the Winged Will, who needed 8 points to pass the Columbus Blue Jackets for the second and final wild card spot in the NHL's Eastern Conference. And the Detroit Tigers, last but not least, at George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, Florida, on Wednesday, the Tigers beat the Yankees 9-6. Tigers lefty Daniel Norris gave up a two-out, two-run home run to Gary Sanchez in the first inning. John Hicks hit a three-run home run off of Luis Cesas as a part of a four-run third for the Tigers. The Yankees scored four runs in the eighth. Mark Montgomery gave up a two-run single, then allowed two more runs on wild pitches. Dominique Fiasilio, he broke a 6-6 tie with a two-run bases-loaded double in the top of the ninth. Christian Stewart added a sac fly to left to bring home Ronnie Rodriguez, and the Yankees actually had the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth, but they failed to score. So the Tigers off to a pretty good start in spring training. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and join the fun that way. And again, tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at least shoot a brother a follow, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Shooting perfect at the line, 17 points, 3 assists for James Harden in a quarter.
Gotta ask you about that cross up on Wes Johnson there. What's going through your mind? How much fun was that?
I feel good, man. I've been in my bag all year, so it was just one of those moves where I had to make him dance a little bit and made the shot.
Thanks, James.
Ah, yes, happy Thursday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin, and you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870. Ian Hawley, how you feeling, man? You good?
Have yes, good sir. Day? I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. I wish the weather was better, but hey, it's Michigan. You know, we go through these, especially around this time of the year, when we're trying to make that transition from winter to spring, right? I mean, we're having these days where it's like, all right, beautiful one day, and then cold the next. So hey, it's Michigan, but hey, just be safe out there. It is a bit slick on the road due to some rain and snow. It's a mix of rain and snow that is expected to continue throughout the afternoon. Did you catch, you know, I like to start, you know, my introductions with the most interesting thing that I saw in sports last night. And Twitter blew up after last night's highlight of James Harden absolutely shaken Wesley Johnson out of his sneakers. Did you see that crossover last night? Oh, Ian.
I did not, no. I'm not a big Twitter guy. I got to get on it more.
Even not on Twitter. I mean, I got it on my phone, actually, from the ESPN
app. Oh, wow. Was that good?
And Bleacher Report then had their own highlight of it. Did you see it, John, last night? Oh. Oh, hold on. I don't think John's mic is on.
I saw it.
Dude, how sick was that crossover? I mean, James, He crosses over, and he kind of, you know, gave him some body as well on that crossover. But, you know, Wesley falls, and what made it so good is that James stopped.
Right.
Stared at him
and then said, watch this. And then nails the three-pointer. The gym just, it was like, oh. See, it's all throughout the gym. It was unbelievable.
What I love about it is, and I saw someone tweet it perfectly, he said, I've seen more angles of Harden crossing up Johnson than I've seen replays of any other play in sports history.
Right.
And the best part about it is, from one angle, you can see Johnson's reaction. And even Wesley Johnson himself is on the court, on his, you know, behind.
Right.
Laughing. Because there's nothing you can do at that point other than just laugh at yourself. Because it's James Harden.
It's James Harden. He's so good. And, you know, now with that win last night, I mean, the Houston Rockets, watch out for the Rockets. I'm not that crazy. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors to come out of the West and represent the West in the NBA Finals. But, man, are they playing some good basketball. They finished February undefeated.
With that win now, I believe they're 31-1 when Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella play in the lineup together. When those three are healthy, they're 31-1 this year.
Amazing. And I was one of the ones, and you can even ask our previous engineer, Isaac Constance, who was a big NBA guy. We would go back and forth whether or not the move to acquire Chris Paul was a good one. And I said, I don't know how this makes the Houston Rockets that much better. And we would go back and forth about it. And right now, Isaac is looking like the smarter one there. I mean, I was wrong on that one. I mean, goodness, the Rockets are playing good basketball, but can they keep it up? That's the question. But, man, that was the best highlight I've seen in a long time on the basketball court. That was just a pure crossover. Pure crossover. And, yeah, that's one of those moves. We've all been there. Those that play pickup ball where you get embarrassed. We all have been there. I mean, I grew up on the west side of Detroit, you know, playing at St. Suzanne's outdoor park just about every single day in the summertime. And I had some moments where a dude would get me, right? And you just try to laugh it off, but it's different laughing it off on the pickup basketball court and in comparison being in front of millions of people on national television and trying to laugh off that. Uh-uh. James Harden, snatch your soul, Wesley Johnson. Great move. Great move, though. All right. We got a lot to talk about in today's current sports, and I want to get to a moment yesterday. Tom Izzo has had it. He has had it. Tom Izzo has officially flipped the switch to March, a month that he has historically owned in his career. Again, as I noted at the top of the hour, we call it here in mid-Michigan, January, February, Izzo, April. You know, we replace March and just put Izzo there because this is when Izzo does his thing. And he is in full March Madness mode, and he wanted to let everybody know, specifically the media members who have really just cared about what has happened off the court concerning his team, you know, starting with the ESPN report that calls into question the integrity of the program. And then, of course, we saw the Yahoo Sports report in relation to former sports agent Christian Dawkins and the drama that unfolded there. Would Miles be eligible to play? Would he be ruled ineligible? He eventually was ruled eligible by the NCAA. Had to pay $40 to do it, but he was ruled eligible to play by the NCAA and played against Wisconsin to finish out the regular season. This team is off. Well, let's call it like it is. I mean, this team finished the regular season with the best record in program history. This is the best team statistically in Michigan State men's basketball history, yet we haven't really talked about it because there has been so much off-the-court drama. Well, Tom said enough is enough. Media, if you don't have a question pertaining to basketball when it comes to my players, you won't be asking them anything. In fact, I have the bite right here. I want to play three snippets from yesterday's heated media availability of head coach Tom Izzo at the Breslin Center, starting with that very notion. If you don't have anything pertaining to basketball that you would like to ask my players, you're not asking them anything then. Here is what Izzo had to say. This was Izzo's opening comments to the media yesterday.
I feel very comfortable that we've emphatically cooperated with everybody on every search and everything we've done, I think we've appropriately handled it exactly the way we were supposed to handle it at the rules of that time. And that's where we are there. As far as our players, you know, we've done a great job of talking about helping the healing process in this community and in this university. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to work our tail off to help the healing process both in the university and in this community that we love so dearly. Our players are committed to that. I'm committed to that. And any other things that will make us better, we're going to do whatever it takes to help that process. Guys, we're not answering any questions, my team, anymore about anything but basketball. That's going to be it. It's basketball questions. I owe it to them, and I mean this strongly. I owe it to them, and I owe it to my staff, that we're going to focus in, because it's been a lot of distractions. I tried to do it as best I could do it for all of you, never cut off our locker room or anything else. But now it's going to be basketball time.
Basketball time. Now it's going to be basketball time. Mad props to Tom Izzo. Because, one, I really don't know how this team, this Michigan State men's basketball team has done it, you know, throughout the majority of this season. I mean, dealing with the off-the-court noise, trying to go out there and win games, and that's all they've done. That is exactly what MSU men's basketball has done. They found ways, in lieu of the storm, to win games and accrue a 28-3 record, 16-2 in the Big Ten Conference, win a Big Ten regular season championship, and they've done all of that in the eye of the storm of so much criticism. Should Tom Izzo still be the coach of the program? What about Travis Walton, Tom? What are your thoughts on the ESPN report? Somehow, some way, this team has stayed focused and found ways to win. And now I think, you know, Tom is recognizing that, okay, this is when you put on your big boy pants and there are no more excuses. Because you lose a game from here on out and you don't have a shot at winning a Big Ten tournament championship. Now, again, I do want to say this too. I'm not a big fan of the conference tourney championship. The regular season champion is the real champion. All right. Conference tourneys are all about moolah. It's about sparking up hype on the heels of the NCAA tournament. We all know that. But at the same time, I mean, Tom Izzo wants to win a Big Ten tournament championship. And you know, it's win or go home now. This is one game elimination time. And he realizes just how significant the basketball season, the basketball year is becoming now, because we're talking about March. March is game time. And Tom does not want any distractions. He put his foot down, looked everybody in the eye, and said, "You no longer will be heckling my basketball team." But even with that statement, and I want you to listen really close here. Listen really close here, because there was a reporter. Don't know what publication she reports for, but she just wanted clarification. And Izzo wasn't really having it. Izzo wasn't having it. Here is the exchange that Izzo had with this reporter.
Still plan at any point in the future to address any of these allegations?
I just addressed them.
With any degree of specificity?
Never any specificity, whatever you said, because I don't have, there's an ongoing investigation here, number one. Number two, those of you that think I'm the prosecutor, the chief of police, the president of the university, and know all these things, like the NCAA investigation, I had nothing to do with that. Zero. Okay? Nothing. And I don't like the narrative everybody's making of this. And so right now, I don't plan on addressing any specific things because I've already said what I said, and I don't know anything else.
Can I just ask you this?
Probably not.
So it seems like you're upset about people sort of hanging on a lot of responsibility. Could you take step by step through what the protocol would be within this program, within the athletic department, in dealing with reports of criminal sexual misconduct, what your role in that would be?
I'm not going to take you through that right now, but my role on that is so minimal. I mean, we are hands off now. We are that goes to other people. I mean, we can just do what we can do, but that thing is decided by the police department, the OIE, all the different things. So I'm not going to comment on things that I've already kind of commented on. It wasn't good enough for some people, and not a lot of people either. Just a very select few. And you know what? I feel comfortable in my own skin. Yeah, one more question.
The other thing, there has been, I guess, criticism of ESPN and about quote-unquote sensational reporting. Are there any specific mistruths, untruths that you would like to dispute about their reporting?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't work for ESPN. I'm not the one that claimed that they're sensational. I'm just asking you.
You read it.
But you have inside, intimate knowledge of this program, I would imagine, and how certain things were handled. So I'm asking you, are there any mistruths in any of that reporting that you would like to dispute right now?
No.
No. Not at all. I applaud Tom Izzo for that, because I can only imagine. I mean, we're still in the midst of these investigations playing out. We still have we don't know the facts yet. There's still a lot of things that have to come out, and the process has to play out. Yet, certain media members out there, certain media outlets out there don't want to hear that. And Izzo has been riddled with questions that he right now at the time has clarified time and time again he cannot answer. But Izzo is now putting his foot down. And again, I knew it was coming. Either before the Big Ten tournament or before the Big Dance, I knew at one point Izzo was going to say, that is it. We have to focus now because we are chasing a national championship. And I'm not going to allow media members to become a distraction for my team. I loved it. I loved it. I had no problem whatsoever with what Tom Izzo had to say yesterday. One more snippet. You know, it's a bit ironic that, you know, Izzo makes this statement and says, all right, media, that's it. You're not asking me any more questions dealing with anything other than basketball. But now he has to go and face the New York media. The New York media is a relentless bunch. And the New York media could care less probably about Tom Izzo's statement yesterday after practice. So, Izzo was asked about that. You know, you're going to the media mecca. How do you plan on dealing with the New York media? The questions are going to come. Where's your head when it comes to addressing your players in that conversation? Here's what Izzo had to say.
Going to the media mecca, and, you know, reporters are going to be asking the same things over and over.
They're not going to ask me.
No, but I'm saying, how do you prepare your players for that?
I just told them, and I appreciate however you want to handle it, but I just told them, it's time, you know. I've let my players talk, not close my locker room one time. I've let them talk for 5 weeks, and I think they've done an unbelievable job. And then Miles talks the other night, and there's a hair of a mistake, and it gets blown up. So we're going to stick to what we should stick to. These players deserve that. So they're not going to answer anything but basketball questions. When people throw at me, you know, I'm a big boy, I got to handle it. But for them, that's going to be their orders, and apologize, but that's why you came here. You came to ask him questions about basketball.
So I want to know what you think. Did you like Izzo coming out and saying, all right, that's it. That's it, media. Only basketball questions from here on out. Did you like that Izzo finally put his foot down and said, I'm done with this mess? It's time to focus. It's time to hone in for my team right now. And I am not going to allow anyone to deter us from our goal. What'd you think of the Izzo exchange with the media yesterday? 517-355-WKAR.
517-355-9527. I see many of you commenting on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I'll get to those comments. You'll get to hear comments from John, Simon, Ian Hawley from behind the glass. That and so much more as we keep it pushing right here on WKAR's Current Sports live on WKAR AM 870. Some Carlos Santana for you on this Thursday, March 1st. Pay your bills. That's a reminder to everyone out there to make sure you get those bills paid. It's the first of the month, right? quick score update. Wisconsin and Maryland in the Big Ten men's basketball tournament out in New York City at Madison Square Garden. Wisconsin has a 42-39 lead with just about 11 minutes to play. And again, the winner of that game will take on your Michigan State men's basketball team tomorrow at noon. So, again, Wisconsin 42, Maryland 39. Also, some unfortunate news when it comes to recruiting. The high school career of Clarkston, point guard Foster Lawyer, who I absolutely love watching on the basketball court, unfortunately, Foster's high school career may be finished. The Michigan State signee, who was also a favorite for the Mr. Basketball Award, he suffered a torn meniscus in his left knee on Tuesday night in a win over West Bloomfield. The defending Class A state champ may be without its all-state player when it begins tournament play next week. Again, tournament play, district tournament play, for Michigan high school boys basketball begins next week. And now Michigan State signee Foster Lawyer may be kaput. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In segment A, we played you the fiery, in-your-face comments from head coach Tom Izzo, letting the media know that my team will not be answering any questions other than basketball questions. We are focusing in. It is now March. We are getting ready for Big Ten tournament play. We are getting ready for the big dance. If you do not have any questions that deal with my team and what we're doing on the court, you can save it. You can save it. I love the comments. You heard my thoughts on it. I loved it. I think that, you know, Tom does not have any obligation to answer any questions right now because the investigations are still ongoing. We don't know any new information. So, why should Tom have to answer anything at this point? So, I agree with it. I have no problem with what Izzo had to say yesterday. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. John on line one, I see ya. But first, I want to get comments from Ian Hawley and John Simon. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer. Your thoughts on what you heard from Tom Izzo?
I liked what he said. I thought he's been pretty reasonable with the media up until this point, especially with the amount of stories that have been written about Michigan State sports in the past few months. And so I don't mind what Izzo had to say. He might have been a little fiery at times with the reporters, but I mean, when they just keep questioning him like that on things that he said he doesn't want to talk about, what do you really expect from the guy? So I have no problems with anything that Izzo said today.
Definitely. And you know, what's been remarkable is a lot of programs, Izzo prides himself on saying, hey man, media come to practice, watch his practice. Media come to the locker room. You know, I'm not going to close my locker room. And, you know, I thought that there was going to be a point after watching the ESPN report and watching Izzo get scrutinized left and right. I thought there was going to be a point where Izzo said, all right, no more interviews with my players, no more open practices for the media. Izzo has stayed so transparent. You know, I've been blessed to cover a program in Michigan State men's basketball that in relation and in comparison, I should say, to other top basketball programs across the nation, other media members don't get the privilege that we do here at Michigan State. I mean, to sit in on practice, to watch practice, and then talk to the players directly after, that never happens. And Izzo has continued that in the midst of this storm. You know, Izzo has still held his locker room open and allowed media members to still pose questions to his players. Other programs wouldn't have done that if they were under this kind of spotlight. And I have to give Izzo a lot of credit there. So, yeah, Izzo has been, you know, as transparent as possible, as he can be during a time like this. But I like that he came out and finally said, you know what, I'm sick of the drama here. You will not be harassing my players with any questions that do not deal with basketball because it's winning time now. We are trying to focus now. I loved it. I had no problem with it. John Simon is live here in Studio S. John, what did you make of Izzo's comments?
Well, it just goes back to what you said, and I think you put it perfectly. He's riding the wave of the storm. He's facing this storm from the media head on, and I think that the comments that he made and the approach that he's taking are absolutely the right ones because when in doubt, I mean, there's guys like Miles Bridges, Cassius Winston on this team, but Tom Izzo, as the head coach, is the leader of the team. And people have to realize that he is still coaching 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and they can be distracted by a lot of things while they're experiencing something like this. They know that all eyes from the media, the fans, a lot of people in the country are on them. And I think that whether people are going to take Izzo's comments the right way or the wrong way, he's taking a lot of attention and pressure off of these players and putting it onto himself. He's telling his guys, you know what? Don't worry about all this media hoopla. Go and play basketball. Let me be the one to be fiery, to be angry, and, you know, take all the questions and the problems from the media.
Yeah, and I think, you know, probably even more amazing is the fact that that these young men, I mean, this is a relatively young MSU men's basketball team.
Extremely young.
You're led by, you know, a bunch of sophomores for the most part. I mean, right. What, you know, they're starting four sophomores and one freshman, for goodness sake.
And he's one of the youngest in the country.
Exactly, right? He's one of the youngest in the country. I mean, he just turned 18, right? I mean, and Jaren Jackson Jr. But it's been amazing that these young pups have really matured. You know, in light of this very unfortunate incident throughout this year for them, and they found ways to win. I just think this has really grown their bond. And I think it could pay dividends around this time of the year. Who knows? But it's really been remarkable to see how they have dealt with this, you know, especially this past weekend with Miles Bridges. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I do believe that this has bothered Bridges a little bit this season. I think that when you look at what happened against Wisconsin, Miles just, you know, there have been times where I'm like, okay, Miles just doesn't really look like himself. Be more aggressive. We've all harped on that. But, you know, after what happened with the Yahoo report on Friday and just watching the way, you know, his body language, that's the main thing I was looking at with Miles against Wisconsin. He just didn't seem there. And I can only imagine what was going through his mind on the road. I mean, heck, you had the student section yelling out cheater.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's never dealt with anything like that. I can just imagine how this is weighing on Miles Bridges mentally. So, John on line one, welcome to Current Sports.
Thank you. I know you mentioned earlier about you feel that the regular season champ is the real champ, and I'll give you that, you know. But I just think, in my opinion, the Spartans need to really validate that because it was such an uneven schedule this year. They did not play the top five teams only once, and mostly that was at home. They beat the bottom feeders, and they didn't really beat them all that bad in a lot of games. Had to come way behind, and they just, to me, were not. I watch every game, and they just were not real, real impressive.
Yeah, so that's the thing. You look at those.
You know, they need to really validate themselves in the Big Ten tournament. You know, they only played Michigan once. They only played Purdue once. They only played Ohio State once. Nebraska once. I mean, those were the top four or five teams with them. And, you know, they didn't really play the top teams. Well, I just feel that this is very important to validate that championship this year.
Well, this is the thing with me. I mean, you know, one game elimination tournaments. I mean, how many times have we seen Cinderellas in March make these improbable deep runs come tournament time. It's all about matchups. It's all about coming into that tournament with momentum. There's a lot of factors that come into play. I mean, that's why I look at the Big Ten, you know, tournament. I look at all of these conference tournaments and say to myself, okay, this is basically a warm up for the big dance. If Michigan State was to lose tomorrow at noon, I must be real with you, John. I wouldn't be surprised. One, because we've seen Michigan State, as you just noted, play lowly competition in the Big Ten and barely squeak out wins. I mean, heck, they needed a 27-point comeback to beat Northwestern.
I'm still looking to be impressed, I guess. You know, they've got a good record, but the eye test just doesn't do it for me this year.
Right, because you've seen them have to squeak out, you know, crazy last second wins over competition that isn't that impressive. Mm-hmm. So I totally get that. And that's the big criticism that I've had for this team as well. I mean, yeah, they're getting wins, which at the end of the day, that's all that matters, right? But you got to look deeper when you're evaluating how deep a team can go come March Madness. And it is alarming that Michigan State has not been able to put out, you know, these bottom feeders of the Big Ten Conference. So I totally get it from that perspective, John. I totally get it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I think, you know, with Cassius, the only really good guard you have, I mean, that really is productive, that's going to be a problem, because if the guards take you to the championship and they've only got one, that's going to be an issue for sure. So,
well, one true point guard, right? I mean, yeah, Tom, well if you look
and McQuay,
at this.
I mean, he's there about every fourth game, and he gives you nothing other than that. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, McQuaid is a pure shooter. Cassius is a guy who gives you that perfect balance between scoring and facilitating. He's really the only guard that does that. When Tom comes in, he's strictly a facilitator. We all know Tom is not a scorer. Matt McQuaid is strictly a shooter and in there for defensive purposes, as well as Tom as well. They both play great defense, actually better defense than Cassius Winston. Josh Langford could be a player to also pinpoint come this time of the year as well.
Yep.
Because Josh has had, if you remember at the beginning, at the middle of this year, we really started to see Josh consistently able to put in and give you a good, you know, 11 to 17 points on any given night. If he's hitting, that takes a lot of pressure off of the shoulders of Cassius Winston as well.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, John. Appreciate it. Ian and John, I wonder if you guys want to piggyback on what you just heard from John. I mean, because that's the big thing with me. And that is why I have been hesitant so many times, and I have come on the air and said, man, I just can't read this Michigan State team because, yeah, it's great that they're getting wins, but dang, was that close. You know what I mean? And I haven't been really confident in saying this team is going to make a deep run. Do they have the talent? Without a doubt. This is the best Michigan State men's basketball team I think ever assembled in the history of this program. But, geez, I think mentally they check out sometimes and they get complacent. They play down to their competition, and that's why I'm hesitant at times when discussing this team, John.
Right, and I mean, it goes back, we just talked about it a few minutes ago, it comes back to their youth. I mean, these are 19 and 20-year-olds who had all the pressure in the world thrown on them at the beginning of the year, and this is before all the off-the-court stuff started, you know, happening around them. But I like what you brought up about Langford. He is very important. I've said he's been the X factor for this team since November, you know, with how important guard play is. But going back to the schedule, I mean, obviously the Big Ten was down this year. It is hard to say how this Michigan State team can play against the other top teams in the country based off of how they played against the bottom feeders of the Big Ten. But the way that I looked at it was, is a lot of these Big Ten teams played Michigan State in their buildings with nothing to lose.
Right.
Michigan State comes in as the top dog with the targets on their back. They're just trying to go out there and see what they can do. When Michigan State, if they play a team come the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8, these teams are playing for just as much as Michigan State is. These aren't teams that don't have anything to lose anymore. So I think that the mentality and the game and the mindset of those teams that Michigan State will be playing in March will be different than say an Iowa or a Minnesota that Michigan State was playing on the road in January.
Yeah. And you're getting everybody's best shot. You're getting everybody's best shot. If you're playing Michigan State, you know you got an opportunity to knock off one of the best teams in the nation, if not the best team in the nation, right? I mean, my goodness, Brad Davison for Wisconsin. Did you see what he did on Sunday? Gosh. I mean, this dude dislocated his shoulder in the middle of the game.
Popped it back.
Goes to the locker room, pops it back in, comes out and gives MSU buckets. He had the game of his life.
Football guy Brad Davis.
Exactly. I mean, Mo Wagner had the game of his life against Michigan State, right? Keita Bates Diop, Big Ten Player of the Year, who's been great all year for that matter.
Right.
But Keita goes off and Ohio State blows MSU out the water on the road. So, you know, Michigan State cannot take any opponent lightly because that opponent is looking at Michigan State, foaming at the mouth, saying we got a golden opportunity here to really cause shockwaves throughout the men's college basketball world. Ian?
First of all, when talking about the best Michigan State team ever assembled, I would like to point out that the Flintstones were probably a little bit better.
No. I would say this team is better. When you look at this team, the Flintstones didn't go.
Okay, this is the deeper team.
Didn't go the entire regular season, just losing three games.
Well, Mateen Cleaves was hurt for the entire non-conference season.
I hear it, but when you look at this
team,
he's
out with a stress fracture to his foot.
Statistically, Ian, this is the best Michigan State team ever in the Tom Izzo era.
That's fair.
Ever.
Second of all, having been put in my place.
My bad. I had to jump on you there.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying. The Flintstones were great. Don't get me wrong. But
it's definitely close. Either way, as far as going forward with this Michigan State team, I'm really looking for Josh Jackson to come back and be one of the contributing main contributors, as you were talking about, as he was during the middle of the season.
Josh Langford.
Gotcha. Yeah, sorry, I said Josh Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking Nick Ward to really make his presence known in this Big Ten tournament. There have been times where Ward has been the guy for Michigan State, and he's had 20 points and however many rebounds, and we won the game on his shoulders. And then there have also been times like that game against Michigan where he just looks silly in front of people like Mo Wagner. So right. If we can get the consistent contributor in Nick Ward and in Josh Langford, I think we'll be all right in this tournament, and we'll probably win some games by sizable margins.
Yeah, and I'm hoping Miles Bridges wakes up a bit as well. I mean, my goodness, Bridges has scored, 10 or fewer points in four of MSU's last seven games. He is just 10 of 39. That's 25% from the field, 5 of 19 from three-point range over the Spartans' last four games, averaging just 10.5 points in those victories. Those are not usual Miles Bridges numbers that we know Miles is capable of. So I'm looking to see if Miles can get back to the lights out Miles Bridges that we saw dating back to last season. So let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports with Throwback Thursday. And I'll just really briefly touch on the state of the Detroit Pistons right now. That and more. We'll be right back to put a bow on the show. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. A score update. Man, this is a really good game. This is a really good game. Wisconsin and Maryland going at it. It is a tie game. I have a tie game here, according to my score ticker, Ian. 4:21 left to go. Do you have it on back there? I know you got the TV rocking back there. Man, I would put that baby on right now. I wish we had a TV here in the studio.
Yes, sir. I'm watching it on my phone right now. Wisconsin just hit a couple free throws to put them up 47-45, and my clock reads
I'm seeing
about 4:27 left in the game.
Okay.
So I might be a little bit behind.
Right, yeah, because I'm seeing 47 all with 3:48 left to play. So, wow, this one is going down to the wire again. The winner of Wisconsin and Maryland will play your Michigan State men's basketball team tomorrow at noon. So, hey, I mean, we should hit. When it comes to that game, you know, we should hit halftime around 1 o'clock. So, hey,
tune into Current Sports at 1 for your halftime report, and just keep the TV on mute while you listen to Current Sports throughout that hour, all right? We will greatly appreciate that. All right, well, we have, 4 minutes left. Ian, let's hit him with Throwback Thursday. Or do we have it? We got the intro music. Here we go. Throwback Thursday.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, this is certainly a busy Throwback Thursday. I'm going to do my best with 3 minutes left here to rattle off as many events on this day in sports history that I can. Today is March 1st, 2018, but on this day back in 1941, Elmer Layden was named the first commissioner of the NFL. In 1949, the great Joe Louis from the D announced that he was retiring from the boxing world as heavyweight boxing champion. In 1960. Gordie Howe was profiled in Look magazine. I don't know what in the world Look magazine is, but I guess it was a big magazine of the time back in the 60s. In 1969, Mickey Mantle, he announced his retirement from the world of baseball. In 1979, the NCAA granted ESPN the exclusive rights to telecast collegiate events. In 1987, the Boston Celtics defeated the Detroit Pistons 112-102 to post win number 2,235. In 1988, Wayne Gretzky of the Edmonton Oilers got his 1,050th assist to become the NHL's all-time assist leader. Gordie Howe has held that record for 26 years. In 1993, the expansion NHL team owned by Disney was named the Mighty Ducks. In 1996, Lenny Wilkins won his 1,000th game as a coach in the NBA. Also in 96, on that same day, the Dallas Mavericks set a record when they attempted 44 three-point shots in a game against the Vancouver Grizzlies. I believe that record has been broken now. 97, Bottom Line 2 debuted on ESPN2. And in 2002, the NHL's Board of Governors met and emerged fully behind Commissioner Gary Bettman and totally committed to having a season in the fall. So a very eventful Throwback Thursday. Folks, we'll be back at it, same time, same place, to close out the week here on WKAR AM 870 with another fresh edition of Current Sports. Until then, have a fantastic Thursday afternoon, and be easy, people.